Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Wednesday, the 18th day of July, the year of our Lord, 2012. Welcome to the John Moore Show. Well, the report I gave a week ago today, just to summarize for those of you who didn't hear it, because this is radio, we always have new listeners. My source is connected to the Department of Defense. My source is a spouse of a member of the Department of Defense. And this spouse was told to attend a briefing, a classified briefing, for dependents. Now, keep in mind, this is not all Department of Defense or military dependents. It's not thousands of people. It's not even hundreds of people. These are only people connected to continuity of government contingency planning. That's all. We're talking a few dozen, maybe. Maybe. It's a really small number of people. Anyway, at this briefing, they were told, after they signed the non-disclosure agreement, they were told about something called NIBIRU. It's N-I-B-I-R-U. There's other words for this object, Planet X, Wormwood, the Destroyer, so forth. They were told that this object would soon be causing massive flooding on the east coast of the United States. Now, this is critical. All these sources, and I got a new report for you as of last night, are all pointing to the east coast, which tells me it's more likely not a pole shift. It's more likely something connected to the Canary Islands, which Nibiru can affect, and it already is affecting the Canary Islands, which has a massive ridge of dirt and rock that in the past, parts of it has fallen into the ocean and made a tidal wave that took out the east coast of the United States. If it happens again, and that's what I believe the Department of Defense is concerned about and Homeland Security, it would do the same thing all over again, creating a tidal wave that would move not quite the speed of sound across the Atlantic Ocean, taking about 8 hours, possibly a little less, wiping out the east coast of North America. Now, last night I got a word from a Department of Homeland Security insider basically verifying everything I said last week. These people are very concerned. They're concerned for their lives, not just their careers and their paychecks. They won't talk on the telephone. They won't send an email. They will only meet in person and talk about these matters in person where they're sure that there's complete discretion and no way their conversation or the communication will be intercepted. That's how serious this is. Now, at the briefing, these spouses were told that they'll be given notice to leave, to evacuate. They'll be allowed to take one carry-on item and one suitcase, abandoning all other property, clothing, furniture, appliances, automobiles, everything. They may get as much as 2 weeks' notice. They may not. Now, this kind of briefing would not happen a year in advance or 6 months in advance. My associates and I, we agree the maximum amount of time between these kinds of briefings and the event happening would be 90 to 120 days. It could be a lot less. It may be slightly more, but unlikely. Now, there are some unknowns here. It's unknown whether Nibiru will, in fact, cause this event. If it wasn't a likely thing, I doubt that these briefings would be held. Now, the only people getting out, just to refresh your memory here, the only people getting these briefings and their spouses are people connected to continuity of government contingency planning. That may be 1 or 2% of the U.S. military, maybe 3% on a good day. That's it. Majority of men and women in the military are not part of continuity of government contingency planning. They simply aren't. I've had a number of listeners tell me how they're checking with friends and relatives that are connected to the military and how they're not finding out anything. Well, of course they're not, because they're not part of that part of the government. So we're focusing more on the Canary Islands. Until we get any reports from the Gulf Coast or the West Coast, because if it was a pole shift, the Gulf Coast and the Pacific Coast would also be inundated with flooding. The fact that we're only getting reports from the East Coast, from the Atlantic side, tells me it's more likely than not connected to the Canary Islands. So pay heed, do your homework, have a plan. This show is primarily an East Coast drive time show, given the time slot we're in. It's 5:15 in the morning, Pacific time. Not many listeners out there. We got a few, like my friend Robin Grant, who is up before the crack of dawn most days. But this is primarily an East Coast drive time show. The majority of you, I have no expectation you're going to load up the minivan with children and dogs and supplies and head to the mountains. I don't believe that's going to happen, and I'm not encouraging you to do that. What I'm encouraging you to do is do your homework. Check out the Canary Islands. Figure out if this threat is something that you need to be concerned about. And have a plan A. Have a plan B. If this thing happens in the middle of the night, there's not going to be very much warning for civilians, if any at all. If you're not out and out the door the first 15 minutes, you're probably not going to get away. If the general public figures this out, figures out that a tidal wave is coming at the speed of sound, it's going to hit North America on the East Coast, the highways will be hopelessly jammed in minutes, and that's the end. Unless you have access to an aircraft, you're finished. So have a plan A, have a plan B. You know, satisfy yourself that what I'm saying is real. Do not make major life decisions based solely on the word of a radio talk show host. What a foolish thing to do. The smart thing to do is take what I say, check it out, find out the science behind what we're concerned about, which is the Canary Islands, the seismic activity, the volcanic activity, the fact that this has happened in the past, and mainstream science has talked about this, such places like National Geographic and so forth, have talked about what's happened in the past with the Canary Islands and what could and very likely will happen in the future with the Canary Islands as they affect North America. Now, this wave will go west by northwest from the Canary Islands towards North America. It's not going to take out the British Isles. I had a very emotional note from a young woman in the United Kingdom last night expressing her concerns. Well, you're going to be okay in England, Ireland, Scotland, the coast of France, Portugal, Spain, and so forth. You're going to be okay if that's what this is all about, because this wave is going west by northwest. It's going to take out North America, the east coast of North America, the United States and Canada. That's the target. Tim in Connecticut. Good morning, Tim.
Morning, John. I've been watching the Canary Islands earthquakes. It's something I do. You know, I stay on top of the earthquake thing. You know, I go online and follow it. And the U.S. Geological Survey doesn't half of these earthquakes that happen over there. As a matter of fact, they report very few of them. And you're right about that, because a couple of weeks ago, things started ramping up there. And I'm on the East Coast, and the question I have for you is, how far inland do you think a tidal wave, I mean, I've heard that it would travel about 500 miles an hour across the Atlantic.
Right. It's going to be near the speed of sound. Well, it depends on how high that wave is, of course. I'd want to be as high as I could be. What's your elevation above sea level where you are, Tim?
Well, I'm about 400 feet above sea level. We're like kind of like in a farm country in Connecticut, and I'm about 50 miles inland.
Right.
And I'm away from the populace. 20 miles probably away from like any bigger city in Connecticut, at least.
Right.
That's the closest one, I would say.
Well, nothing I'm saying is carved in stone, as I say. There's a lot of unknowns here. 400 feet sounds pretty darn good to me, and I would, you know, I would hope that would be high enough. Once you, you know, if you decide to stay there, you know, that's going to be it. And once that wave's on its way, it'll be too late to do very much else. Is there higher ground in close proximity to you?
Oh, yeah, there's, you know, I could travel in 25, 30 minutes. I could be another few hundred feet above sea level. You know, there's bridges to get over, and, you know, I don't know how bad the traffic would be, but, I mean, I could take back roads and get way up state in no time. But there's a lot of other people that would be in a lot of trouble, let me tell you, because, I mean, rush hour around
you'd have to be on the road before the generally dumb public figured this out to really make your destination.
Yeah, this is something I monitor constantly. I'm, you know, on it every morning before I go to work. I just check things out. When I get home, you know, I'm on the websites and just, you know, just looking at things that I think most people, I mean, I can't even talk about some of the stuff to a lot of people. They look at you like you're crazy.
Oh, yeah.
They're just, like, numb to the world. They're just doing their everyday thing and,
right.
You know.
Like, well, you know, the people you're talking to, they know what's important, Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, like this 100-degree heat wave. I mean, I was hearing this from scientists. I mean, I've been listening to your show for a couple of years now. And I go online and check out a lot of things you've been saying and from other people. I'm the guy who worked for the White House staffers. I'm that guy. I don't know if you remember me.
Tim.
And I've been following this, and like a lot of the scientists have been saying, too, expect 100-degree weather every day all summer throughout most of the country. And guess what? We've been having it. And everybody I told laughed at me. Well, guess
That's
what?
Right.
They're not laughing anymore.
No, they're not.
Yeah,
Tim, could you leave your phone number with my engineer off the air? I do want to talk to you privately.
Yep.
Okay, give it to my engineer, and she'll get it to me.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Tim.
Thank you.
I've talked to Tim a number of times privately, and he's very diligent in keeping track of a lot of things. He's come up with some things that are very helpful in everything we're doing. And Tim, I thank you for being one of my correspondents. The call-in number is 877-488-5350. And Tim's doing the right thing. He's not just taking what John Moore says at face value. He checks it out. And I encourage you to check it out. There was a young couple on the East Coast. They watched my DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You. They took off work for a week. Now, that's, for most young couples, that's a lot of lost income to check out and verify independently what I was saying to be true. And after they did that, they got back with me. They said, John, we took off a week from work. We checked out what you say in your DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You, and it's all true. And that's the right thing to do, is to check out information, go back to original source material, whatever that might be, books, newspaper articles, whatever it might be, and verify it. Verify that it is accurate. Verify that there's substance behind it, and material that you can rely on and make decisions on. That's what you need to be doing. We have the bottom of the hour break coming up here in less than 2 minutes. And this story is very likely the most important story I've ever reported on, the most important story I've ever investigated and looked into to report to the public. Very likely it is. And the consequences of this will change our country forever if this tidal wave hits the east coast of North America. It will change our country and Canada forever. And do your homework. Check it out. make sure it's real, and then you've got decisions to make. You're keeping in mind that doing nothing is a decision in and of itself. Here's our break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. If you want to get an education, get my DVD, Global Warming, What the Government Isn't Telling You. I have other items there you may not be aware even exists, like the Faraday bags. Well, when it comes to scary things like this possible tidal wave that could hit the East Coast of North America, I encourage you, first of all, to get your spiritual house in order. That's the first and foremost thing that anybody and everybody needs to do for themselves. It's not my job as a radio talk show host to tell you what your spiritual beliefs would be, and I wouldn't dream of wanting to do that. I do feel a responsibility, however, to tell you that whatever your beliefs might be, you need to gain clarity and focus in your spiritual beliefs and take care of that part of your life. Then come skills. The two skills in biggest demand and shortest supply in any crisis are the two skills of emergency medical treatment and ham radio skills. Obviously, there's dozens of other skills that could be very helpful in any crisis, but those two skills will be in biggest demand and shortest supply. Emergency medical treatment skills, well, the Red Cross offers training. Your local hospital might, local fire department, your local junior college. There's lots of places that offer emergency medical treatment skills. Then you need equipment to go along with it. I don't sell emergency medical treatment equipment. Freeze Dry Guy does have some first aid kits, I believe, on his website. I'm not positive. I think he does. If you want professional grade kits, just like the paramedics and the EMTs carry, go to Galls, G-A-L-L-S, Golf Alpha Lima Lima Sierra, Galls.com. They sell to the paramedics, and you can get very comprehensive medical kits from them. There's other places, cheaper than dirt, offer some mil-spec kits. One of them they call a portable hospital. It's very large and very comprehensive, and so forth. Ham radio skills. We have a caller here, Deborah in North Carolina. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, John. I have a statement. I don't know if you've noticed this or not. Is that our sun is setting in a different place, a total different place. Have you noticed this?
I haven't myself. I've had callers telling me that the sun is rising and setting in different locations, but go ahead.
I have lived in my present location for 20 years, and I have watched the sunset in a certain location. And since the earthquake in Japan of last year, March 11, I have noticed that it's not setting in the same place, nor are the shadows from the sun during the day falling appropriately.
Okay. Well, there's only one way that could happen, and that's for the Earth to change the way it faces the sun. There is
that's
no other way.
Correct, yes, because the sun doesn't move. We move.
Right. Although we had somebody on Republic Broadcasting a few nights ago claiming that the Earth is in the middle of the universe, of the solar system, and the sun goes around us.
Well, he's whoever that knows. And we can read in the Bible that in Isaiah chapter 24, it'll tell you that the Earth is going to rock to and fro.
Like a drunk.
Yes.
Yes.
And the distance that the sun is setting from where it previously has, now the sun is moving north from my location. It is
right. That means your location is moving south.
Yes.
Right.
So, you know, I know the fact that the sun doesn't move. It's the Earth.
Right, right.
And I just, you know, that's something we can see. We can assume that this Canary Island thing will happen, but we can now, today, watch the sunset, and it's not setting in the same place.
Well, I need to do more work on that. Your report is one of several I've received, Deborah, and I need to do more work on that myself and figure out what's going on there.
Well, I would advise it because that's something you can actually see today.
Right. Well, there are scientists and there are people who keep very careful track of with a lot more precision, and we need to be talking to these people.
Yeah, I'm sure, because if I can see it, I know what's going on. But I believe, you know, it's a total, large distance from where it used to sit.
Okay, well, maybe this would be my wake-up call to go ahead and check that out. Is there anything else, Deborah?
No, I just thank you for having Ann on Friday because Dr. Deagle doesn't give her appropriate time.
You figured that out, huh?
Well, I don't know. Well.
Yeah, well, Dr. Deagle is something else, isn't he?
Well, I won't say what I... But anyway, I love to hear her because I like to know about the earthquakes
right. And
actual what's going on, not just to hear some guy buddy and give his pompous reply. So
well,
I'll be nice and hang up now.
Okay, thank you for your call, Deborah.
Thank you.
Okay. The call number is 877-488-5350. My friend Tim Spencer and I, we've touched on this topic. Tim, of course, is a Native American, and his people that he works with, the Native Americans, I've been giving him similar reports, and I think he's made some similar observations personally. I need to be more diligent and get on that, because if the tilt of the earth has changed, that would in fact be a pole shift. That defines what a pole shift is a movement of true north. For Deborah to be saying to be true, what my friend Tim Spencer is saying to be true, for the sun to be rising in a different place and setting in a different place, there's only one way that can happen. That's for true north to be in a different spot, which by definition means a pole shift, a shift of true north. Not magnetic north. There's two north poles. True north, which is the center of rotation of the planet, and magnetic north, which is where our compasses point to. And they're not in the same place, not even close. There's many hundreds of miles separating the two. Many hundreds. And that certainly is something that needs to be checked out and looked at with more diligence. And I'll see if I can work that into my schedule. We have an educated audience. There's people who have been listening to my show for years and years, new listeners who just came across it in the last few days. It's a mixed bag. The majority of people listening to the John Moore Show are bright, educated people who have good reading skills and comprehension skills, able to make independent decisions, have good critical thinking skills, That's who listens to the John Moore Show. We have very special demographics on this show and for our listeners. We have another caller here, Mike in Pennsylvania. Good morning, Mike.
I don't like to try to dispute the lady that just called a few minutes ago about the sun, but I've been seeing it a lot on forums. I don't know if people are just not paying attention to things or not, but I don't think a lot of people get outside as much, and they seem to think that all they know is due west. And on numerous forums I've seen for the last couple of years, like Godlike Productions, and people are darn, they're serious, they're not kidding. They're saying, oh my God, the sun is north more than it's supposed to be. It's not setting in the west. And when you get to the fall, they say, oh my God, it's setting in the south now. That means the earth has moved. No, it's called the seasons. And I don't want to disagree what she's saying, but an awful lot of people are seeing the sun north of where it is. I've lived in the same place I've lived since 1979, and the sun is rising in the same spot because I'm up at 6 in the morning working. And I'm outdoors working at 8:30 at night, and the sun's setting exactly the same spot. And in the wintertime, it's setting in the southeast and the southwest, exact same spot.
Well, that's encouraging, Eric. And I mean, Mike, Eric's our next caller. I appreciate that, Mike.
Yeah, it seems to me there is enough amateur astronomers out there on the Internet that if something was really moving, you know, with planetarium, someone's going to open their mouth if something had moved with the sun. I mean, I know the Earth has moved slightly. They've measured it after the earthquake. It's like, you know, a half an inch or something. They said the Earth's rotation.
I know. Well, you know, that's nothing that you could see with casual observation.
Right. It's just been right now the sun is starting to make its move back to the south again. Because, you know, its sun is setting now about, you know, 5-10 minutes earlier than it did back a month ago because that was the summer solstice. So just want to give encouragement.
Absolutely.
I haven't seen anything major yet. It's just the natural progression of the sun moving.
Well, Mike, that's encouraging, and we do appreciate the call, sir. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And Eric in Georgia, we got a break in less than 2 minutes. Go ahead, Eric.
Yes, John, I appreciate your show and what you're trying to do as far as warning people and be prepared and everything. I was just curious, Ann Morrison, who you have on every week, I don't remember hearing her commenting on Planet X and how it could possibly affect what's going to happen, what could happen.
She generally does not comment on Planet X. That's right. She generally does not. What she reports are secondary effects of Planet X, but she and I generally don't talk about Planet X specifically. You're right.
Oh, okay. She's not privy to that information.
She understands science and she understands astronomy. She doesn't have any inside knowledge of interviewing the Navy veterans like I have. I've personally interviewed men who've been at these classified briefings. But Ann is a very good scientist and very good at reporting what she reports.
I see. Okay, well, that's what I was curious about.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you for the call, Eric. We appreciate it. We got our last break coming up here in less than a minute. Ann, like the rest of us, is constantly learning. Ann is a very special person in the fact that she has both the education and the time to look into these matters. What she brings to the table is a level of expertise that most of us don't have to know where to go, what to be looking for, and how to analyze what she finds when it comes to earthquakes, volcanoes, storms, radiation from the Fukushima radiation event, and so forth. Here's our last break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We have our last caller here, John in Missouri. Good morning, John. Yes, sir. You're on the air. Go ahead.
No. I'm sorry, John. It's Mike from Connecticut again. I talked to you the other day.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I skipped one. Yeah, Mike. Okay, go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
Just trying to get pointed in the right direction of websites that I could do some research on.
What kind of research are you interested in doing?
Well, I'm following you. I'm following Lucas, but Lucas really hasn't put nothing out new yet.
Well, Lucas sold his website, so he's not putting out anything.
Oh, did he really? So Rabbit Hole 2 is gone.
Well, I don't know. Well, the guy that bought it, I assume, will be doing something with it, but Lucas will no longer be involved. I recommend standeo.com, Steve Quayle, Q-Files. Those are two
you mentioned.
Yeah, those are two excellent websites. Stay away from anything to do with Nancy Leader or Zeta or Zeta Talk. She claims to be in telepathic communication with an alien being. You still there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So I think between those two, you would have a good starting point to do your research and learn more about these matters.
Okay. And on your website, there's the map, right? Your map?
The map's not on my website. It's on my DVD.
On your DVD? global warming?
Right, global warming, what the government isn't telling you. It's on my DVD, right.
Okay, and I've been following a lot of the earthquakes that are going on. Like, I look at the maps, but I don't think that they're showing all of them.
No, in fact, Ann Morrison and I talk about that all the time. Now, when an earthquake first happens, it's reported by an automated system, especially the ones at night, and they're posted on the USGS website in an automated fashion. These guys come in the morning, they get their cup of coffee, they look over what happened the night before, and they frequently do, well, there's three things. They can leave the reporting as is, they can downgrade the earthquakes to a lower Richter scale level, or they can eliminate them altogether. We're seeing all these things happen.
Yeah, that's what I figured, because I know I've been seeing a lot of things popping up in western Montana, and then the next day they're gone.
Right.
I don't know if they're trying to hide what's going on around the Yellowstone.
Well, they are. I mean, it's not like it costs them any money to leave these things posted on the website, as there's no shortage of space on their website to post this stuff. So, you know, there is no legitimate reason for eliminating these earthquakes, Mike.
Now, what do you believe about Yellowstone? Do you believe that that's getting ready to blow?
Well, I know there's great concern among the scientists who monitor it. I share their concern as to whether it will blow or not. I don't have a clue.
Okay. All right. And then you don't mind if I call in once in a while, right?
I think you should call in once in a while, Mike.
Okay. Like I said, I'm on the East Coast, and you struggle from paycheck to paycheck in this life, so it's hard to put things away. So you're trying to make a plan that you could go with, and it's not going to cost you a fortune, you know?
I know. Well, keep your gas tank topped off and your bug-out bag ready to go, Mike. That's all I can say. Okay?
And keep the gun on the side, right?
Absolutely.
All right, and I'll talk to you again. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. We're out of time. Appreciate it. That's it for today, ladies and gentlemen. You all be safe out there. Buy lots of ammunition. Be sure and never give up your guns. For those of you behind enemy lines, the code words for today are the parachutes arrive at 1 p.m. The parachutes arrive at 1 p.m. Be safe and God bless America.